Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everyone, and you are very, very welcome to our channel, NARCCon, where we're doing another podcast on narcissists. And the reason we're doing this is because it's a dreadful experience people have having a relationship with one. It can be devastating and it can be final. So it's that serious. Definitely learning about what and who narcissists are and how they operate and how they think is great at helping us make sense of what's happened and moving forward and protecting ourselves going forward when we have to deal with this ilk. Today, I'd like to cover 10 things that narcissists will hate you doing. And they're not things that a normal-brained person would think would be any problem to somebody who loved them. But if you understand the dynamics, the drivers behind the narcissist's behavior, this should give you great insight into understanding the way they think and operate. And I hope that's going to be extremely helpful. So let's get started. The first thing I have down is something that narcissists really hate when you're in a relationship with them, particularly the intimate relationship. If you're their main source of narcissistic supply, which is essentially life fuel for them, because the construction of the personality they've built needs to be fired by this fuel. It needs to be energized by it so it can actually keep the narcissist alive. It is that elementary to the narcissist's needs. So if you are the main source of supply, or if you're a very important source of supply, like a family member or someone they work closely with, someone that they see every day and depend on for feedback to keep them relevant. If you go to see your family and friends alone when you have been, say, a month or two in the relationship with the narcissist, or maybe after the 3 month stage when the love bomb effect has worn off. Because tell me if this is not what it was like for you, but a narcissist basically woos you with the love bomb. They basically make your life so darn great and future fake you out that door as to how great life is going to be, that you become really infatuated. And, you know, it's a kind of a high that you may never have experienced before. You think, oh, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. This is absolutely incredible. And I feel that I found the person. When that kind of starts to wear off, which in any normal relationship, the initial being in love stage does, and you have to get down to living everyday life. Well, if you then start to go out and see your family and friends without the narcissist, remember, family and friends of yours are useful to the narcissist as additional supply, and they want to learn about your family and friends to see who they could use or who may be their perceived enemy, who's somebody that may be able to see through them and needs to be either avoided or dealt with in the background by putting you against the person who may be going to see through the narcissist and help you see the narcissist through their eyes. So initially it's a reckonance mission. It's a kind of a find out the facts mission. So they will go to your family and friends with you to see who's who and what's what. But when we get further into the relationship, this is one of the things they hate. It's if you go alone to see your friends and family, and you say, well, why would they hate that, Paula? Because the more validation, love and support you would get from friends and family reflecting back to you, your identity and your value, the less control the narcissist has. It basically dilutes their control over you. Because what they're actually trying to do is isolate you from getting any validation or feedback on who you are from anybody else other than them. Then, when they withdraw that validation, it's devastating to you because you are becoming codependent on them. So basically, they're trying to initiate and instill in you a codependency. Therefore, it is not along the lines of their aims if you go and dilute that hold that they want to have over you, if that makes sense. So you may be surprised at the pushback, you know, after the 3 month stage or the 6 month stage, however long it takes for them to get you really, really hooked and believing and trusting in them, when they seem to put up objections to you going to see your family and friends, saying little things like, oh gosh, I thought we could have spent time together. I was planning something, you know, all of these things. And you're kind of going, you're torn. You're torn because you want to stay with them, but at the same time, you want to see your friends and family. If they can't isolate you from your friends and family, if you keep going to see them on your own, they will give you pushback and they will start interfering with the relationships that you have with friends and family by feeding you false information as to, oh, well, your friend said this about me or about you, or tried to kiss me or tried to flirt with me. Whatever they need to do, if you don't withdraw willingly from seeing your friends and family alone, they will then put barriers in place to make you distrust your friends and family and not see them as much. Number two, they highly dislike if you won't share your property or finances with them. Like if you won't immediately amalgamate your finances or put their name on the deed of your property, because everything to the narcissist is a gain, and financial power is a very useful tool when you're a narcissist to bring in other forms of narcissistic supply, to attract other people in to feed off, basically, if they're in a good financial position. So they always know that they're going to leave you. I promise you, you may not hear this much, but a narcissist always knows that a relationship has a finite amount of time. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't come back and hoover you and have another go, but they always know that there's going to be a start, a middle, and an end. And in the end, they want to have amalgamated as much benefit from the relationship. It's a transaction ship with a narcissist. They want to come out with bang for their buck, basically. They want to come out with a return for their investment. And they may come back around then when you rebuild yourself to again try and harvest what you have achieved and worked for in your life. Number three. This drives them absolutely nuts, but it will be probably a cold rage you will experience from them because they don't want you to know that this is driving them nuts. Some of the ones that are less capable up here may have a big poo-ha and rage. It depends on the nature, on the intellect, and the intelligence of your particular creature, narcissist. So if you don't emotionally react to something the narcissist is either baiting you with or trying to trigger you with, because they've decided they want a specific reaction from you, because maybe they want to go out and maybe they want to start a fight, or they want to set you against somebody else, and you ain't buying. You know, you're kind of going, I'm exhausted, I'm not going to react to this. I've learned a little bit about narcissism. I think your man, it may be a touch, maybe one of them. So I'm going to actually try this technique out and see what happens. So the narcissist literally, your emotional reaction is literally language to the narcissist. It's literally like an X-ray. It tells the narcissist everything they need to know about what level of control you're under, how manipulated you can be, how much narcissistic supply time they may have left with you. And it deprives them of fulfilling their narrative, whatever the agenda was to get you riled up or whatever they were doing. And you're disrespecting the mask, the fake persona. You're not actually fully believing in the fake persona. You have an idea that they may not be who they say they are, which literally makes the battery go. It literally runs the battery down very quickly and is not giving them the energy they were going to get from your emotional reaction. Because basically, emotional reaction and belief in the mask equals narcissistic supply and life energy for a narcissist. Number four, things narcissists really hate you doing. I hope now that when I'm saying what they hate, you understand the reason why they hate it, which will give you a better insight into who and what narcissism is and the narcissist is when it's in a malignant form, when it's an unhealthy form, when it's a personality disorder. If you're getting more attention than they are, say you're at a party, even Christmas, even if it's your birthday, they will hate the fact that it's your birthday and not their birthday. It's very emotionally immature. It's like, I want all the attention. Why is she or he getting attention? Particularly when they're such a twit or an idiot, they don't deserve it. I'm the best around here. I'm the superior one, says the narcissist. Now, if you're getting attention and they can claim credit for what you're getting the attention for, like if they've helped you with something or if they've coached you with something and somebody's praising you and saying, gosh, your acting is wonderful. You know, who thought you were? Who did you work with? And you reference the narcissist or look over at the narcissist and say, you know, bring them into the attention and praise. Then you'll be allowed to do that because it's kind of third party, you know, third-party narcissistic supply coming to them, and then they will step in and take all of the credit. They'll say something like, well, Joey wasn't the only one I coached in acting. In fact, there are people that I've coached that are actually famous, you know, and, you know, they love it. They absolutely love it, but it has to be about them. So if you're getting the attention, that's not going to work, and they will cause a fight. They'll say they're sick. They'll say they have an emergency and you guys have to leave. And then on the way home in the car, they will pick a fight with you about something to totally denigrate you and take away from the good feeling you would have had and the validation you would have received for getting that attention. Talk about loving somebody. This is not love. This is hate, rage and jealousy and the want of your destruction. It's as close as it gets to darkness and evilness. There's nothing human about this. This is not good. So don't be deceived because they're very good at you know, the next day, pretending nothing happened and being all lovey-dovey again. You know, when a person shows you who they are, you know, believe it, even if they're showing you the nice side as well. The nice side can't exist in authenticity if they're capable of such dark behavior as well. You know, you have to come up with, well, what's real here? And a person who's looking like they're a great person and a nice person, who isn't in the main like that, who's very cruel and sadistic, is not the person they're presenting to be. Because if they were, they would never be able to be that mean. And I don't mean like somebody who's really good and makes the odd mistake and then apologises for it and say, I'm really sorry I did that. That was a dreadful thing to do. I don't know what I was thinking. I was actually tired. You know, a little bit of that. But when narcissists do it, and they may come up with similar excuses, but if they keep doing it, they're not sorry for it. It's not just an abbreviation. It's not just something that's happened in isolation. Number five. Oh boy, if you give the narcissist the silent treatment. I didn't even know what the silent treatment was. I remember a narcissist said to me, I hope you don't do the silent treatment. And I said, what are you talking about? I did find out what the silent treatment meant later on in the day. The silent treatment, when somebody doesn't talk to you and pretends you're not in the room, ignores you, leaves the room as you walk in and won't answer a question when you ask them a question. That's basically the silent treatment when you're still with somebody. You see, narcissists use the silent treatment a lot. So if you ever want to reference, like, I wonder what the narcissist would hate, do what the narcissist does, and that's what they hate. When they're punishing you and when they're being mean and nasty to you, they think that's the worst thing you can do to somebody. So if you have the audacity to do that back to them, that's what they hate. It's pretty easy, but I guess I'm doing these 10 things on this podcast and explaining as to the reasons that they hate it. And the reasons they take the silent treatment is because they're not getting any narcissistic supply. There's no breakfast, no lunch and no dinner, and definitely no supper. They can't control you. They can't maneuver you. They can't read you. And they're hungry for narcissistic supply. So that's a very worrying that's a very worrying thing you could do to a narcissist. They definitely start looking around at alternatives, because that's just a shutdown. The store is shut and they're not going to get anything. And you have the audacity to do that. So you're actually, you know, validating yourself as being of value, and something they've done is really not right. I don't think I could do this. I couldn't do the silent treatment. I think it would make my stomach go into bits. It wouldn't be something easy. I'd say it's very stressful to not speak to someone or communicate with them. But if you want to know things that narcissists would hate you doing and why, that's one of them. Number six. If you worship at a different altar, if you worship God, that's absolutely a no-no to the narcissist, unless their fake false persona is somebody who also worships God. And there are many holy roller narcissists, which is, in my opinion, it's a double evil, because not only are they being evil, cruel, mean, sadistic, jealous, rageful, but they're pretending that they're a man or woman of God. So they're infiltrating the churches, the synagogues, They're infiltrating them with a false mask, literally hiding a demon behind it. It's a terrible, I think it's one of the most, the worst presentations of the narcissist being, you know, presenting as somebody who's a believer. Worshipping God means that you actually don't worship them fully. You know, that they don't have full and total control over you, and that you're still holding on to some morals and values. They will definitely try and dilute that. They'll put you off it. They'll criticize your worshipping and your good deeds and those kind of things, telling you you're stupid, you know, that people don't appreciate you, etc. And that you mustn't love them enough because you're spending a lot of time away from them, all this kind of crapology. Okay, number seven. Now, this might surprise some people. The narcissist will hate you getting a good night's sleep and resting. And this, again, is essentially what the core of evil is: to keep people confused, to keep you in emotional turmoil, and to keep you in chaos, to keep you in a worried state where you don't have the capacity to think straight. And we all know when you don't get a good night's sleep, and if you're very tired, your mind is scrambled and you don't make so many good decisions. You know, you kind of say, oh, okay, well, whatever, because you just don't have the capacity or the endurance to say, no, that's not right, and I want to do it this way. So a narcissist will disturb your sleep. They'll pick arguments with you before a big job interview if they don't want you to get on well in the job interview. They'll do whatever they need to keep you in that vulnerable state, because you being vulnerable makes them more powerful. And you think, this person loves me and they don't want me to get rest. This person doesn't love you. So you not having rest basically makes the narcissist more powerful and you easier to control. Gosh, we've three left. Number eight. The narcissist absolutely gets shattered by the thoughts of you leaving them first, because in their superiority and their fragile ego, you know, it's fragile. That's why they work so hard on controlling it. This is the Remy yoga chill position for anybody that is not seeing this in video form. Remy is on his back with his legs in the air. I think he gets fed up listening to the narcissist's chat. Anyway, so a narcissist definitely wouldn't like Remy because he's very good at resting. He's very good at resting. So leaving the narcissist first is a big no-no, because they need to do a huge amount of scrambling around to set in their mind the fact that they're actually the one that should be leaving and you should be grateful for being with them. And how dare you? How dare you leave this demigod? And they need to really go around and smear your name and say you're an absolute lula because you left them. Because who could possibly leave them? They're just like unbelievably wonderful. So in order for them to get their brains into the position it has to go into and keep them superior, they have to try and control the situation, scrambling around if you are the one that's left them first, because they have to re-reference everything in their mind. So they absolutely, even if a narcissist gets a whiff of the fact that you might be thinking even of leaving them, they'll generally race you to it and leave first. And you'll be going, I am so upset this person has left me, even though I was seriously considering that I might have to leave at some stage, but I wanted to give it a final shot. So you don't have that, the oomph, you know, to continue on as you might have had if you had left first and made the decision and been at peace with it and had a discussion with them about it. They want to whip that away from you, and they want to be the person to pull the rug under you, not the other way around. Number nine, exposing them. Exposing them is very dangerous to them. Because if you expose any crack in the fake mask, if you can prove any lie that they're telling, if you can bring something up from their past that nobody knows about, if you can do anything to damage the power of that fake false persona, that again is life. How can I say it on YouTube? That is dangerous for a narcissist. Because they work so hard on making themselves seem very, very real and making the personality they've built seem very real. You know, they attach like new attributes to that personality as they go through different stages. Like they may go into a relationship with somebody else and present a totally different set of character traits. But it's just that they will attach customized character traits to the new source of supply to suit the new person. But the main mask needs to stay the same, and the core identity that they have established as their chosen identity cannot be dented, particularly by you. Because the whole aim of the narcissist is to destroy your identity so that they can be buoyed up. They can feel stronger by doing that. It's a very tit-for-tat situation. They have very black and white thinking. There's no grey area. If you're bad, they're good. If you're destroyed, they're successful. They're the victor. That's what's going on with the narcissist in their thought process. And the very last one, and the most effective one, not just that the narcissist absolutely abhors and hates this, but this is the best for you and for I and for anyone that wants to de-scramble their brain and live a beautiful human life, is going full no contact and ignoring the narcissist. Which is what a lot of them try and do to people that they discard. Because it's a devastating thing to do, you know, to just not have communication with somebody you've maybe lived with for 10 years and communicated and had a very close relationship with. It is essentially a living death. But for people that have been with narcissists, it's a living death for them not to do it. They need to reclaim their own lives. They need to rebuild themselves. They need to unscramble their brain. They need to have a chance at living a life again and thriving. But you will not have this possibility if you don't at least for a period go no contact with the narcissist. Because they've literally brainwashed you. That they use techniques that actually brainwash you. So no contact and ignoring the narcissist is the death knell to a narcissist. And it's the life source for you. So what you're doing is not cruel. You're actually saving yourself, and you're worth saving. That's it for now, guys. We are going to take ourselves out, wrap ourselves up well. It's very cold out there. I apologise to anybody that's gone looking in Audible for the book Weaponized Love. I pressed publish thinking, whoopee-doo, there it goes. And they say, oh, there's 10 days for processing, 10 business days. So that was about a week ago. So it's like pushing a boulder uphill. You keep rolling back a bit, you keep going forward a bit, and you think, oh, I'm at the top. And then you slide down another 10 days. So anyway, I will announce, I have pressed publish. Whenever Audible have processed it, then they'll send me an email and I will let you know definitely. So goodbye for now, and Happy New Year, happy 2026. May you be blessed with peace, love, joy, and happiness.